Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Do your home projects. Do it yourself. Go to Lowe's.com. They supported us. Bar cart looks great. Twitter account, we had it. So he's a Hall of Famer. 13 NFL seasons, all with the Raider franchise. Now he's part of the new Fox Bet team, contributing to the Fox Bet Real Money app and Super 6 game. He's joining us. Undisclosed location up in Montana. I'll just give you that. On his deck. It's beautiful part of the country on a lake. And, you know, it's interesting. We were just, Joey and I were talking about this. No preseason games. Now, I imagine if when you were in your last year with the Raiders, you couldn't have given a rip about the preseason. But I do wonder, but when you were young, does the preseason matter when you're a young player?
You know, I always felt like I needed a couple of weeks of live simulation. I'm not a fan of games in the preseason. I'm not a fan of scrimmages with other teams. I think you can control the environment and potentially avoid any kind of an injury if you're in practice with your own team and you're staying off the ground.
When you look, you know, it's funny. So these young quarterbacks, let's just take Cam Newton. So he gets no preseason with New England. He's not worked with the receivers. He's sharing snaps with Jarrett Stidham. And this is something we've said on our show. We got to lower expectations here for rookie quarterbacks, Teddy Bridgewater, Cam Newton, these guys with new teams. What's a realistic expectation, Howie, on Cam Newton this year?
Well, I think the Patriots are kind of an outlier in the way they prepare their players. You know, we talk about it all the time. We've talked about it. I've talked about it on your show. The way they change their scheme, their system, their approach week to week, half to half, quarter to quarter, series to series is amazing. And that tells me they're great teachers. And Chris, having played there, I understand that there's an expectation. There's kind of a baseline expectation of what your kind of contribution is and your role in the offense, the defense. And I think it's a fascinating signing. I was kind of surprised Cam went there, and I was also surprised that they picked him up. But I think it says a lot about Cam and his desire to expand his horizons and go play for a guy who's won countless Super Bowls and been in the Super Bowl countless times and feed off of that and replace Tom Brady. I'm excited to see what they do with Cam. Cam has given Bill Fitz in the couple of times they've played them. So I think Cam's abilities will be the focal point. And, you know, they don't make exceptions in New England. They didn't make exceptions for Tom Brady. Everyone's treated the same way. He has a different approach. You know, if Troy falls asleep in a meeting, you wake Troy up and you get him a cup of coffee. If somebody else does, you cut him.
Yeah. You know, in the NFL, it's never as bad generally as you think it's going to be. I've learned this through the years. They're never as good as you think it's going to be. And we're all talking about Tom Brady. It's going to be just roses and 40 touchdowns. And I'm like, time out. It's never free agents, trades. They're never as grand as you think. If there's anything about Brady to Tampa, Howie, that would worry you just a little bit, just a little, what would it be?
Well, the two things that worry me, of course, are that's one, can he hold up over the course of a long season? I certainly don't think he needs preseason games, and it looked like he got together with his receivers quite a bit prior to camp opening up. And the other thing that worries me a bit is where the happy medium hits for the Bruce Arians offense versus what Tom's used to running. Bruce is a guy who, you know, we all know, likes to get the ball down the field. He did it in Pittsburgh. He certainly did it in Arizona, which makes your quarterback more susceptible to being hit.
Yeah.
That's not a prescription for success with Tom. So I think there's going to be a happy medium, and that's going to be interesting to watch. They're loaded down there, Colin. If he stays healthy and they find a happy medium, which I'm sure they will, Bruce is a smart guy, and so is Tom. You know, the sky's the limit because their defense played well down the stretch last year.
Let's talk about your Raiders. I tend to be a bigger fan of Derek Carr than the NFL media community. They bring in Mariota, who I don't think's close to Derek Carr. What I worry about, Gruden can be a barker. Derek tends to be a tad sensitive. Is it possible, Howie, that Derek's personality and John, they're just not built for each other long term?
I agree with you. I think John, he has a very high expectation for everyone on the football team and everyone in the organization, and he's not shy about expressing it. And if you're thin-skinned, I don't think you can play quarterback for John Gruden. I think the process of Derek Carr adapting to John Gruden and vice versa, I think has been good for Derek Carr. I think it's toughened him up a bit, and you're either going to get tougher mentally, and, you know, he was tough physically, and I think the expectations are high for this offense. And certainly when you bring in a Marcus Mariota, who's been to a Pro Bowl, who is a dynamic talent, but a different type of player than Derek Carr. And you're hearing positives out of training camp about Marcus Mariota, but the expectations are high, but they're high for every player on that offense under John Gruden. So get your job done or they'll be looking for somebody else.
You know, you played 13 years with one franchise. It's just different. It just doesn't happen much today. And, you know, I look at Earl Thomas, and on those Raider teams, there were some guys that had their own personalities. They weren't perfect. Hey, when you came into the league, you were a tough guy. You weren't going to be pushed around. You didn't have to get along with everybody. What is the line, though, with Earl Thomas? Because the Raven players said you're out. How far is too far with a teammate? Value to disruption?
Well, I think you're very aware of this because you're from the Northwest. Seattle had something really special up there, particularly in the secondary, and Earl was a big part of that. And I think, you know, your kind of litmus test or what you know is what you experienced in Seattle. And I think if you're chasing that, you're chasing ghosts because that doesn't exist. And for whatever reason, and I don't know all the particulars, you know, whether there's talk of being late for meetings or missing meetings and being difficult to get along with. And for whatever reason, it just didn't appear that Earl fit there, you know, from the beginning. And he's a talented player. And I'm sure that someone will give him an opportunity. There's talk of Dallas. There's talk of San Francisco. Jay Glazer's telling me he doesn't believe Dallas, but we'll see.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting about this NFL world now that, and we see it in the NBA, players are better, younger, they get paid more early. You know, we talked about Kansas City. We're like, Trent Dilfer always said this, the hardest person to manage can be yourself, you know, like, and it's harder to manage great than it is bad. We're all motivated as guys. When we're bad, we work harder. That's our DNA. But when we're good, I look at Kansas City and I think, man, a lot of guys getting paid, very young in spots, Super Bowl. Take me to your career on the best team you ever had. You have a Super Bowl team. Then you come back for camp. Everybody's got a little more money. Everybody recognize you. Everybody got a commercial. Take me to what that's like for Kansas City for the next 6 months.
Well, the good news is you have Andy Reid. That's the, you know, I think from a just a foundation standpoint, setting the tone for the football team. And you've got a young, dynamic quarterback who just appears to be not only special physically, but he's just a special guy. And that really, I think, plays a big role in how successful this team can be moving forward. Certainly, are the pieces in place for them to contend for another Super Bowl? Yes. And winning it, it's a 16-game season. You know, you have injuries, you have complacency, all the things that Jimmy talks about. You know, I didn't get enough. I didn't get enough attention. I didn't get enough money. You know, those are things that factor in, but they seem to have paid their key players and they've got those guys in place. If everyone stays healthy, they're going to be there at the end. It's just a question of if they have a little luck, because it takes a little luck to win it.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. I said to Joy earlier, I said, Bill Polian used to always tell me, you got to have 3 weeks of hitting. Most guys need 3 weeks of hitting or you'll have injuries early. Should I expect the first 2 weeks of the NFL season to have more injuries? Because the hitting is just practice hitting.
It seems like soft tissue injuries. I think what's unique about And I'm not sure that necessarily applies in today's game, because I think players are, you know, they're bigger, faster, stronger. They're in better shape. They're continually working out. From the minute the season ends, you're back in some program off campus, and you know, whether it's in Florida or Texas or California, you're in one of these kind of design places that train you as an athlete. I don't think you can simulate football, certainly, and I think you can get that done in a couple of weeks within the confines of your own building. But these players today versus the players 20 years ago are in such better shape, and they're far more prepared. I think soft tissue injuries are certainly a concern, because you can't simulate full go football until you play it, and we've seen that over the last few weeks.
So when you're on a lake all summer, what do you does Howie water ski? Do you and Terry have big parties? What do you do all summer up there?
Well, I get in my boat, I throw my dog in there, I go out and I take a bath in the middle of the lake just about every day. That's the high point of the day. I know it's fabulous here. We have cherry orchards. We do harvesting. We do a lot of programs with the Boys and Girls Clubs up here, and it's a lot of fun. We enjoy it. It's my favorite time of the year. But then you got to get back to reality. You got to get back to work.
No kidding. Jumping in a lake, taking a bath with a dog is a country song just ready to be written right now by Howie Long, who is now part of the Fox Bet team, the Hall of Famer. They got a new Fox Real Money app, Super 6 game. And you don't age, my friend. You're a great dude, wonderful family, and it's great seeing you.
Thanks, partner. Good seeing you.
Howie Long, one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. Super dude. Just jump in a lake, take a bath.
It does sound like a country song.
Terry Bradshaw could write and perform that song by Howie Long. I'll let those guys figure it out. Joey Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the AP preseason college football rankings were released today.
Oh.
So we're moving forward, as if everything is moving forward. And for the second year in a row, Clemson lands the number one spot. Now, even though many conferences have announced that they will not play football this fall, all Division I teams were allowed to be considered in the preseason poll. However, voters will only rank teams that are scheduled to play going forward.
I would have Florida higher. They have Florida. For our radio audience, it's Clemson, Ohio State, Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU 6, Penn State 7, Florida 8, Oregon 9, Notre Dame 10. I don't know if I'd have Notre Dame quite that high, although I like their quarterback, and I think I'd have Florida higher.
Well, 9 teams, 6 from the Big 10 and 3 from the Pac-12, are in the initial top 25, so they won't be included moving forward. So a lot of things will switch around
This is going to be Florida's best team in a long time. Dan Mullen's got it going, bring their quarterback back. Yeah, that's how about Ohio State? Looks at that, and they can't play. Isn't that brutal?
It's the first thing that I noticed, and yeah, I did feel a little.
Can you imagine? This goes what we said last week. All the neighborhood kids are playing, and you're grounded, and your mom won't let you outside, and you can watch them playing football in the yard.
They're playing high school football in Ohio.
College,
the
pro.
Professional teams are playing.
And then Cincinnati Bearcats are playing.
Yeah.
Everybody's playing except how brutal is that for Ohio State?
You know, it is. Look, like they're not doing it because, you know, it's just the thing to do. Like, it's obviously a lot of thought and planning went into this, and this is the conclusion they came to. Do I necessarily agree with it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? How are we all going to know until this is over what the right decisions were, right? We're just all trying to do our best here. But I do feel for the kids, because you have to feel so helpless.
Yeah, I feel, Ohio State fans can be zany and nutty and delusional, and they're college football fans. But I feel genuinely bad for the one program, like Oregon, you know, I feel bad for Oregon. But Oregon, Ohio State's in that like 4 or 5 group where
they're in a different category.
Every year they've got just as good a personnel as almost everybody or everybody in college football. Yeah, it stinks for them. And everybody around their neighborhood's playing. High school, college,
yeah,
pro.
Yeah, that's going to be
brutal.
That's a little extra
brutal.
Salt in the wound. So Joe Judge is preparing for his rookie season as an NFL head coach. He's already gotten some attention for his training camp tactics, from making players and coaches run laps for mistakes to taking the names off of their jerseys. But Bill Parcells doesn't want Judge to listen to any of the critics. Parcells went 3-12-1 in his first season with the Giants, and he said he was trying to be a head coach instead of being Bill Parcells. So his advice to Joe Judge is to just be yourself.
That's right.
That's what Eric Mangini said with us, I believe it was last week.
you can borrow. I mean, when you're a young broadcaster, or I'm a young broadcaster in your 20s and early 30s, you're borrowing little things from, you know, for me, it was Bob Costas, and you're kind of just, you know, and all of a sudden one day you wake up and you kind of find your own voice.
Right.
Same for coaching. Like, you can dabble from Belichick, but who are you really? If you're not grumpy, don't pretend you're grumpy. If you're not Kurt, don't, you know what I mean?
I think it's, we all get inspiration from different things.
That's right.
And it may not even necessarily be other broadcasters, but when you're coming up under someone like Bill Belichick, and he's the greatest coach of all time, and certainly the most esteemed right now in the game because of his success, it's going to be hard not to do things exactly how you were taught. That's a system that obviously works. But the problem is, and this is, I think, not only that what coaches get into, is that each organization has their own embedded culture, even if the culture of this particular team and players needs to be changed. The Giants have a culture, and certainly a winning culture.
Yeah.
And they have a different city. Like, this is not the Patriots. Like, it's a different organization. So everything can't just be lockstep. Let's look at Brian Flores. Like, he can't do everything the way that the Patriots did it.
Well,
you're
did,
in Miami.
You know, I was reading I saw a documentary or I read a story once on Belichick, and Belichick admitted he couldn't do the things now in New England, in Cleveland, because he didn't have the Super Bowls. Once Bill got multiple Super Bowls, your word has more leverage and power.
It goes a lot further.
Yeah, so I think somebody was saying it about Bill, or maybe I think Bill was acknowledging it. It's like, listen, some of the ways I do things, it doesn't work in Cleveland when I have a losing record as a head coach. So, you know, once Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl, he's Pete Carroll rock star. Not Pete Carroll failed in the NFL, won in college. He's like, oh, it's a Hall of Fame guy. So you have more leverage. By the way, players buy into you more.
Right, but that's also a learning process. Like, just because you're the leader doesn't necessarily mean you know everything, right? So you're going to change things as you go. You're going to learn and adapt, and that's where I think sometimes coaches get dug into these situations where it's like they have a system or they have a way they want to do things, and then they learn, like, well, that was a good idea in theory, but when it applied to this group of individuals, it wasn't what worked. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Joe Judge does. I mean, I don't mind the running laps thing. As long as you don't make the whole team run laps, it seems like a huge waste of time in practice.
Right.
Finally, the Sixers season is over after being swept by the Celtics in the first round. And after getting eliminated, Joel Embiid wondered what his future with the team could be. He said, I don't make the decisions. I'm here in Philly. Whatever happens, happens. I've always said that I want to end my career here. If it happens, good. If it doesn't happen, well, you move on. Reportedly, the 76ers are expected to part ways with Brett Brown. Josh Richardson talked about Brett Brown. He said he means well. I think he's just going forward. He's going to have some more accountability. I don't think there was much accountability this season, and I think that was part of our problem. There's a lot of stuff going on.
A lot to unpack in Philadelphia. Is it fair to say this? It's no singular person's fault.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not one person's fault, but unfortunately, when you make changes, it's going to be on someone to take accountability for those changes. And the easiest change to make for most organizations is to fire the head coach. And does it always work? No, because sometimes the losing culture or the bad situation already existed before that coach got there, and he hasn't had enough time or just hasn't had the resources, or this doesn't work, and he just happens to be in charge at this particular time. I think there's a lot that's going on here, but, you know, look, did the whole process work? Sure. Like, if you consider making it to the playoffs success, then congratulations. Like, you put your organization and your fan base through a lot of losing so that you could get great players that still don't win championships. Like, to me, if you're going to tank, you have to win a championship, or it's just a failure. Because otherwise, these other organizations who don't tank, who are doing the same thing that you're doing, you know, making it to the playoffs and not winning championships, well, didn't put their organization and didn't cost people jobs. And not just the head coach. Like, the head coach gets fired. Usually the rest of the staff goes, too.
Well, also, if you're tanking and I'm taking my family of four to the game and spending $900, do I get a discount? I don't see teams offering discounts during tanking.
And again, like, players and coaches don't tank. It's organizations that tank.
Right.
But the reward for that has to be a championship. Otherwise, why is it worth it? Like, people keep talking about, oh, like, the process worked. It did. I mean, you have great players.
You don't get along.
It's not working. They're not winning a championship. So if success to you is making it to the playoffs, congratulations.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Who should Philadelphia trade for Joel Embiid? Who would I be willing to trade for Joel Embiid? That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Good to have you in. Hope you had a nice weekend. Joy and I, Joy was out in the Carolinas. I've never been to North Carolina. South Carolina. I've never been to, I'm wrong. I've never been to South Carolina.
Oh, okay.
I've been to 49 states. I've never been to South Carolina. My kids have. I haven't.
I've driven through South Carolina.
So how was North Carolina?
It was beautiful. It was very humid. But
it's very hot. They like NASCAR, and it's very hot.
It's God's country out there.
It is?
Yes.
Oh.
It's beautiful, though. Happy birthday, Sarah.
Happy birthday. Okay, it's called The Process. This is what Philadelphia did. They called it The Process. They tanked for The Process. And now there's stories after they got swept. What do they do with Joel Embiid? Great talent, Shaq-level skilled at his size. Had some injuries, kind of sometimes plays hard, sometimes doesn't. So we're going to play a game called Trust the Process or Trade the Process. And Joy is going to give me a bunch of players and situations. And would I trade Embiid for that, or would I just stay with Embiid and trust the process?
Okay. Would you trade Joel Embiid for Bradley Beal?
I would trade the process. Now, I think Bradley Beal is the most underrated player in the league.
Yes.
Does everybody understand about Bradley Beal? How can you call yourself an NBA fan and not get Bradley Beal? He was second in the league to James Harden in scoring. And that's with John Wall and with injuries and with backups. I mean, it's not a well-run organization. He plays defense. His points per game have gone up 3 straight years, despite all the chaos. I've been told LeBron loves him, that LeBron loves Bradley Beal. I would love to get Bradley Beal in a draft pick, but he's what you're looking for. 6'4", defends, in great shape, played at least 50 games every year, doesn't get hurt, and he appears to still be getting better.
Did you trade Embiid for Andrew Wiggins in a number 2 pick?
No. Trust the process. First of all, they say it's the worst draft ever. So the number 2 pick is going to be LaMelo Ball.
Well, I mean, we did not get to see a whole lot from the top prospects.
Wiseman, he played 30 games for Memphis.
Yeah, and LaMelo is
overseas.
So.
Also, Wiggins is a good player, but his contract is $147 million. So it's like, and I think Embiid is, I would be giving up a star for a B-plus player and a pick with my fingers crossed. Nope.
Would you trade Joel Embiid for Bam Adebayo?
No. We got to slow down on Bam. This is the first year that Bam averaged 25 minutes a game. Not points, just playing. He averages 10 points, 8 rebounds. He's a nice player, but he's an ascending player, but he's not close to a star yet.
Joel Embiid for Devin Booker.
I would trade the process. Yeah, I think here's the thing about Devin Booker. Now, we know he's a good scorer. 4 straight years with Devin Booker. 4 straight years, his shooting percentage has gone up. Now, what does that mean? He's taking better shots, and he's making more of them. And let's be honest here. It has not necessarily been a well-run operation as he... So
right.
He was a star very early, and now he's getting better every year. Imagine if you put him in a situation where he's more comfortable. Can you imagine Ben Simmons driving and feeding Devin Booker? Oh, my God, I'd do it tomorrow. That may be one of the best ones. That would be, Phoenix would be, or Philadelphia would be a high-end playoff team tomorrow if that happened.
Joel Embiid for Kyrie Irving.
Nah, trust the process. Kyrie's hurt a lot, and teams get better when he leaves. So I'm not on the Kyrie thing. There's no reason to criticize him. I'm just out.
Does he fit better? But Kyrie Irving is still a star. Does he fit better with Ben Simmons?
I think stars
That's really
have,
what the question is here.
I don't think so. I think you got two guys that want the ball, and one of them is a scorer, and one of them's a shooter, and they get on each other's nerves, and Kyrie gets on a lot of players' nerves.
Joel Embiid for Chris Paul.
Love Chris Paul, but trust the process. Chris is 35. Also, Chris needs to have shooters around him. His game, he's a mid-range shooter, good defender, high IQ. He needs shooters around him, and you wouldn't have it because Simmons isn't a shooter. And Philadelphia just has this pattern of giving away all their best shooters. Of the many issues with Philadelphia, 3 years ago they had a roster full of shooters. Now they don't have any of them. So, and they drafted Markelle Fultz, the only guard ever that can't shoot. So it's like all they're missing is Lonzo Ball. It'd be just perfect.
Joel Embiid for James Harden.
Oh, I would trade the process. Yeah. Again, Ben Simmons driving to the basket, kicking it out to James Harden. Harden played actual defense this year, which I like because Simmons plays real defense. And also James is, you know, in the last decade, he's the second best scorer in the NBA beyond LeBron. And I would say I even think of James as more offensive-minded than LeBron. I don't think he elevates people quite like LeBron. But, yeah, I would – if you get – that's straight trade in 1 second, yeah.
Joel Embiid for Russell Westbrook?
No, I would trust the process. Again, I'll read you a stat here. Everybody thinks I pick on Westbrook. The Rockets have a better postseason net rating, +6, without Westbrook than during the regular season, +2.7. So, and also, Russell's sneaky old now. Russell is 32, and Russell keeps himself in great shape, so he'll play. But hyper-athletic players – age fast. You know, shooters, the late Kobe Bryant scored 60 in his last game. A guy can shoot, he can shoot forever. It's like quarterback. Old quarterbacks always tell you, I can still throw. My legs are shot, but I can throw. Troy Aikman can take a football today, go out in the back of Fox lot, and throw tight spirals. Shooters can shoot. Westbrook's a non-shooter, hyper-athletic, will not age as gracefully.
Joel Embiid for Paul George.
Trust the process. Embiid was good in the playoffs. Paul George is not. That, you know, listen, every player has a reputation. Paul's has been all-star, fizzles in the postseason, and he has done nothing to help his reputation. He has been, so far, last three games, he's averaging 11 points. And that's on a roster where you got to keep your eye on Kawhi and double him and keep your eye on Lou Williams. So Paul's getting looks and is shooting 29%. So I would keep Embiid there.
Not been great.
I will say it is so I was talking to – I don't want to give away my sources. I have a lot of sources, the very best sources, the very best. And I was talking to one of my sources about 6 months ago, and he was like everybody knows in the league, LeBron loves Bradley Beal. LeBron's dying to play with Bradley Beal. But this is a prime example that when you play – Bradley Beal – I think very favorably matches up with Damian Lillard. He's a better defensive player, and he's bigger. And I love Dame. But Portland's a well-constructed, well-run franchise, and then Washington's not. So Bradley Beal is just lost. He's like a $9 stock worth about 24 points. I think he's been one of the best players in the league the last four. I've been saying this for 4 years now. Like, He and Devin Booker, that's the league. They're in shape. They work hard. They can score off the dribble. And they're getting better. Bradley just keeps getting better. And both Booker and Beal have ascended in chaotic situations where, you know, a lot of times it just overwhelms players. Bradley Beal has stayed totally focused. None of the nonsense. High IQ. Everybody, good dude. Like, he's one of these guys. Everybody in the NBA likes Bradley Beal. There's no nonsense. Gets along with coaches. I'm always impressed by people who work in chaotic situations or kids that come from chaotic families, and they just laser focus. They just move. Because, you know, it's everybody, you know, when the company's handing out bonuses, everybody's in a good mood and the ratings are good. Everybody. But what happens when the company is falling apart? And Bradley Beal just focused, good, better every year. All right, there you go. Lowe's do-it-yourself projects. They supported mine, the bar cart, exceptional. Used it last night as I watched some Raptors and Nets. Go to Lowe's. Show us your own transformation. Hashtag Lowe's Goals. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks to Howie Long for stopping by, Doug Gottlieb, and Tim Hardaway.